There we go. Tracy sends her love. She's out of town. Tiffany's got some school stuff going on, so help her out a little bit, but she does send her love. I also want to thank you guys that were texting me and messaging me and making sure I was okay. I got home yesterday morning, and I came in last night and found out there was a pretty bad train accident. I can't say a whole lot, but we did have one fatality and one injury. So, but I appreciate those that called me. My phone was kind of blowing up, so I appreciate that very much. Are you guys awake tonight?
Yes.
You know I ask questions. Genesis chapter 19. What's that? Oh, it's okay. Genesis chapter 19. For the last 6 months, God's been showing me some things and revealing some things with another Old Testament character. So I'd like to reveal those things to you tonight, and we'll talk about them, and I'm just kind of going to be casual and at home. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Amen. Good. Last time we talked about Samson. We looked into his life, and we discovered that Samson was a demonstration of lordship, how that Jesus was to be Lord in every area of our lives. Because if we refuse an area in our lives to surrender to his lordship, then we'll begin to fall and fail in other areas in our life before where we had victory. Do you remember that? Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen. So we saw that Samson struggled in one area all through his life. And he refused to allow God to be Lord. And it led ultimately to his destruction. Tonight we're going to look at another Old Testament character. Acts chapter 19. Let's start with verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, how is there any besides son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Say that with me. Bring them out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city. But he seemeth as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord God, that you would bring light and illumination to this Old Testament character, that we would leave here tonight grown, maturing. Father, we could take this principle and apply it to our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lot was a father who failed. And he failed because of the lust in his heart that led Lot into the wrong things. And his family was the aftermath of his own pollution and sin. Amen? Tonight, I want us to leave here asking ourselves this question. Who's following us today? Who's following us? Are we leading our families in the right spiritual direction? So let's back up and begin to develop Lot's case. How did Lot get in the city in the first place? A city that he wasn't supposed to be in. A city that was polluted with sin. Genesis chapter 12. The story begins with Abraham, who was Abram at the time. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. What did he do? He departed. He got out of that place that God was telling him to get out of. And if we go on reading about Abraham, we'll discover, and we talk about this with OSL, that Abraham was a man who built altars and dug wells. Meaning that Abraham was a man of the word, he was a man of the will, and he wanted to know the wisdom of God's way. And once you're a person of the will, and a person of the word and the will, and you've come to understand the wisdom of God's way, then you begin to dig wells. Meaning you leave something for someone else, your children, whoever's following you. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. Unlike Lot, if we were to follow in Scripture, nowhere do we find Lot building any altars or digging any wells. All we find Lot doing is going with Abraham. Let's look. Verse 4. So Abraham departed, and the Lord spoke unto him, and Lot went with him. Just hanging around. Let's go to chapter 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, and his wife and all he had, and Lot with him. See this? Into the south. And Abraham was very rich in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Did I say that right? Hai? Okay. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham. See how the Bible is emphasizing this? He just went with Abraham. Had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them. And Abraham, or Lot, became rich because of Abraham. That's what the Scripture's teaching us. You know, it's one thing when God makes us rich. It's one thing when God's blessed us. But when we have to promote ourselves, or we have to do it ourselves, it's never going to work. Verse 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Lot saw all the land of Jordan, and he took it for himself. He had such a lust in his heart, he left nothing good for Abraham. He took all the land that was good. Okay? I need some water, I'm sorry. Summer's a little different around here, isn't it? Okay, I need you to see these. It's really important. Okay, let's do it again. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. It was good, but it wasn't God. Right. Lot wasn't a man that was praying, so therefore he didn't know, or he wasn't discerning what was good and what was God. Amen? Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Zoar. We need to remember this, okay? We're going to talk about this at the end if the Holy Ghost brings it back. Okay. Verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities, notice that, of the plain, and pitched his tent where? Towards Sodom. Okay, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Don't you know he knew that, PC, before he pitched his tent towards Sodom? How do I know this? Because the Holy Ghost pecks at a heart, convicts a heart, and tells us what's right and what's wrong. God in the person of the Holy Spirit told Lot not to even go in the city. See, God sent, before God sends the messenger, and what these messengers were angels. Okay, and the Bible says that you and I have entertained angels unaware. Amen? So when God gives us the message, and many times when you hear the message from the pulpit like you are tonight, it comes two ways. It comes either in confirmation or affirmation, meaning that God is confirming what he's talking to you about. How many times has Pastor Tim said that? God, he just come up, tell me, God just told him that. He just told me that. Amen? So what happens is we, because of the inward intuitive witness of the Holy Ghost, we don't listen to the God. We don't do what he's telling us to do. And what happens is it leads into the sin of disobedience. The definition of sin is just disobeying God. When Adam sinned, he disobeyed God. Okay? So what happens with sin is sin becomes sinful, meaning it went from Adam to his children, to his children's children, so much so that in the days of Noah, God had to send a flood because the Bible says that everything down to the beast was sinful. Sin has a way of growing and becoming larger. It becomes a part of our lives, which we don't want, correct? Amen. Let me catch up to missing the notes. Okay, so Abraham parlays with God, meaning he's praying for Sodom. And he says, God, if there's 50 righteous people in this city, will you destroy it? God says, no, I won't. Abraham says, okay, well, let's bring it on down. He said, okay, if there's 45 righteous people in the city, will you still destroy it? God said, no, I won't. So Abraham said, let's go 40. How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? And he stops there because he was counting on Lot. He was counting on Lot's wife, his children, his sons and his daughters and his son-in-laws. And Lot, or Abraham, would not go below 10 because 10 represents the tithe, correct? And anything less than the tithe, God is not accepting. Correct? All right. Let's go back to chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young. Boy, this is the description where we are today. Both old and young. Children committing all kinds of crime, all kinds of sin. Where are the parents in all this? Yeah? Something else about sin. Sin is, yes, disobeying God, but there's also a sin of unbelief. The angels come to God, to Lot and say, Lot, we're going to destroy the city. You need to get out of the city. And Lot turns a deaf ear on God. The Bible says, in the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Meaning you can be cold-hearted to God. What does that mean? You can hear the message again and again and again and still not respond to the truth. You still not live in the way that God has called us to live. And what's happened is it's because of the sin of unbelief. And what's really bad about this is it causes, eventually, it puts us in an area where our conscience is going to become seared. Anytime you hear truth and you don't respond to truth, it leads us to our conscience being seared. If that's not true, then why didn't Lot get out of the city when God said, get out of the city? Genesis chapter 19, verse 14. This is where we opened. Sorry. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You know what that's saying? That's saying that they didn't take Lot seriously. They thought he was joking around. They thought he was just messing around. Because he was not a sober and serious-minded man. You seeing this? I believe Lot had been trying to tell his family about the righteousness of God. But they looked at the testimony in his own life. How can you tell us about the love of God and the righteousness of God and you're still in this predicament yourself? You're still in this city yourself. True? What was his problem? Let's look at verse, I believe it's 15. What was Lot's problem? And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot. What does hasten mean? Hurry up. Lot's hanging around with Abraham. He's hanging around. That's when he had an attitude of passiveness and procrastination with his family. He's just hanging around. He did it all the time. He started off with it. Abraham, that's what I was trying to say. Oops. Just like a parent telling a child, don't do this. The child says, I'm going to do it. Don't do it. One, two, two and a half. And before that we get to three, the child obeys. See, what we're doing is we're teaching the child to obey the account, not the command. Because we need to teach our children it's not how close we can get to Sodom and not go in, but it's how far you need to stay away. Because, see, Lot started off just pitching his tent towards Sodom. The next thing we find in Scripture is Lot's in Sodom. You all see that? When my parents told me, my dad never asked me to do anything twice. Never. Ricky, I'm sure you got the same testimony. It called for a little pow-pow with the butt. Seriously. Something else. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. The sin of unbelief, Luke chapter 16, the sin of unbelief leads to our conscience being seared. God tells us to do something, and we don't do it. We turn a deaf ear to God, and you say, I don't do that. I don't do that. But how many messages have you heard? How many sermons have you heard? And you still not live the way that God is calling us to live? If you're not saved and born again, how many times have you heard a balanced message of the gospel? How many times have you heard there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? And you still sit there and you don't receive Christ. You still don't let Jesus be Lord of your life. How many times? Luke chapter 16. Start with verse, am I at the wrong place? Nope. 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And it came to pass, see, we're all going to die. This will come to pass for everyone in this room. And was carried in by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. All right, I'm gonna press down for the sake of time. Let's go down to, let's see, verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, if thou wouldest send to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. They have Pastor Tim and Pastor Barbara. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if thou went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said to them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. See, salvation is predicated. It's not predicated on what you see. It's predicated on what you believe. And up to the point where you die, you've got to believe the preaching of the word. Yes. You've got to believe without seeing.
That's right.
Well, I don't believe in heaven and hell. Well, you're going to find out.
Yeah.
All of us. See, the point I'm trying to make here is the rich man was leading his family in the wrong spiritual place. He had five brothers, and he knew that they were polluted with his same attitude, his same sin. And he knew it by the lifestyle that he was living. Send them back, Abraham. Send one back. No. Where are we leading our families? Who's following us today? What about our friends, our family? You know, I'm not bragging on my family, but my children are saved today. My children serve the Lord. And you know why? Because I don't linger. They know that dad's got something. They know mom's got something. Amen. I don't linger around. Are we leading our families in the right spiritual way? I'm going to be done very early tonight. Hope you all are happy. Lot's family becomes so polluted with the pollution of the sin of the city. His daughters became polluted with the pagan gods, the pagan husbands. Lot brought them to this place. And many times, this is what happens with us. We bring our families to a place for a job or because of the job. and our sons and our daughters become polluted with the sins of the city? And we wonder why, because we haven't sought the will of God in our lives. We haven't said, God, is this the will of God for our lives? And you wonder, what's wrong with our children? What's going on with my marriage? But you haven't sought the will of God. Amen? I know I always talk about the hard stuff, right? I'll tell you, this is so much so that Lot came to his family and said, we got to leave now. We got to go. God is going to destroy the city. And his sons and daughters mocked him. They didn't believe him. See, Lot's wife looked back. She was so polluted, she became a pillar of salt. See, when we're going the wrong place and we're doing the wrong thing, partial obedience is still disobedience. The Christian life is a life of obedience. Do you know that obedience is learned behavior? The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Obedience is a learned behavior. Amen? The reason why we have to do what God is telling us to do and live the way that God is telling us to live is because somebody's following our example. Ricky, I'm sure, and I wasn't going to say this, but you and I are ex-military, and you know, and Chris, but I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a message from one of my old soldiers and say how I affected them and I'm just 20 years old. I'm sure you have the same thing. People follow you, especially if you say you're a Christian. I promise you in this room, if you don't have a child, if you don't have a grandchild, it doesn't matter. Somebody is following you. Somebody's looking at you. Let's look at verse 16. Back in Genesis, I'm sorry. I'm getting a little dry again. Genesis chapter 19. Y'all getting some tonight? You know, we said last time that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. See, we learn a lot from these Old Testament characters, but we start digging, we start learning. We can see what they did in their lives, the pattern in their lives, and apply it to our own. Verse 16, while Lot lingered, the men laid a hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife. They had to drag Lot out, him and his family. Because why? The sin of unbelief, and his conscience was seared. You know, I think it's the book of Timothy talks about our conscience being seared as a hot iron. You get the truth here at this church. Okay, and the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. Oh my goodness, the Lord is merciful to me. I've been in the wrong place. I'm going to just be honest with you. At the wrong time, doing the wrong thing, and God says, get out of this place. How many can say that? I know I can. God has been merciful to us, all of us. And they brought them forth and set them without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Do not look behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. You understand this? You got to see this. Get this in your head. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said to them, oh, not so, Lord. He's telling God what he's going to do. Verse 19, and behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight. You've been really good to me. And thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain. Oh my goodness, people. If God is going to deliver you, let him do it his way. For real. Because I'll tell you what, we'll mess it up every time. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, this city is near to flee into, and it's a little one. He still wants to be close to Sodom and Gomorrah. You think, church, that he would want to get as far away as he possibly could, but he still wants to be close to the city. But Lot, you didn't start off in Sodom. You started off in a place called Zoar. Remember, Z-O-R-A-R? It means little. It's a little city. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little Delilahs. Isn't that right? It's the little Delilahs in our life. Behold, now the city is flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live. Okay, we're done with that. So wife looks back, and we're going to close here. I'm sorry, I'm not very long tonight. God has been really pressing this on me. Lot got to his family, to this city. And he didn't realize that his family was consumed. Lot's wife looked back. She says, well, if we're going to be close to Sodom, then I might as well look back and see where my friends are going to be. I might as well look back and see where I can go shop. So Lot got them out of the city, and he gets to this little city and with his two daughters that weren't married. And he fails to realize that his daughters are polluted with the sins of Sodom. They had incest in their heart. They remembered the life of the young and the old. And there was incest in this city and all kinds of sexual sin. And they had that in their heart. And they said, they looked at their father. And they said, let's lie with our father. You get him drunk, I'll have him tonight. You have him tomorrow. Where are we leading our families today, church? I don't know where this place is. It could be a place, a city, or a physical place, or a spiritual one. It could be a sin in your life. I don't know. But there's a place that we need to get out of sometimes. And you all are so quiet. Where are we leading our families? Are our friends and our family becoming polluted because of us? I'm not going to have an altar call tonight. I wanted to share this with you, and I hope this is a growing thing for you. I hope this is a message that you can say, well, I'm going to take this and I'm going to apply this to my life. Because if we're not leading our children in right place, our children are going to be imitators of us. Somebody's raising our kids if we're not. Because they're going to follow somebody. If we're going to be drinking in front of our kids and calling on Jesus and coming to church, guess what our kids are going to be doing? Because one day they're going to mock us. One day they're going to look and say, that's my dad. He drinks, it's okay. Where are we leading our families? Where are we leading our friends? Amen. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, we just take this word and we would grow. Thank you for showing us this character, Lot. I pray that we leave here not offended, but we leave here in a better spiritual position, in a better spiritual way, and how we can look at our lives and apply these things to our lives, not only with Lot, but with Samson, things we learn coming to church. We just thank you, Father. Thank you for just revealing yourself to us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all blessed tonight? Sorry, I'm a little early, aren't I? Okay.